Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. Following this broadcast at 8 a.m. from 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on Public Access Channel number 6 on UTV, we have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You will find all these radio broadcasts, the TV programs can be viewed there, and a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in your study of God's Word. Please, give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, study God's Word with us, worship Him, and let us help you understand your need for God in your life and relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit us. This morning, we're going to begin a series, just very short, this week and next week, on the study of pattern theology. Pattern theology is the belief that God has given mankind biblical patterns to follow in our lives, our conduct, and in our worship. Patterns are the models, designs, and examples found in the Bible. These patterns define God's instruction to mankind. From the beginning of the world, God has always given man a pattern of the kind of worship which was pleasing to him in that age. Joshua challenged the children of Israel near his death that they needed to choose whom they were going to serve in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14 and 15. Either they were going to follow God's law and his patterns, or they were going to follow the patterns in the lands that they lived. The nations which have refused to receive that which God has given, showed by their diversity of worship, superstition, the absurdity of their practices, and in many cases cruelty, in what state of the world would be like without the revelation of God. Many people demonstrate what the world would be like without God because they have erased God from their thinking. Listen to what the Lord taught. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. John wrote, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2, verse 17. The words does the will in both these passages refer to divine direction and the necessity of doing what God has demonstrated by his revelation and following it. If doing God's will does not mean doing what God has commanded and how God has commanded it should be done, then what does it mean, dear listener? Denominationalism and some in the Lord's Church are beginning to question this approach to the Scripture. In fact, denominationalism makes every effort to change the pattern. They argue that there is no pattern. A Methodist bulletin reads this way, we always come away from the General Conference with a new church every 4 years. New legislation is enacted and new structure is created. The Methodist discipline is literally rewritten every 4 years. Another General Conference closed yesterday in Atlanta. Among all the things that happened and the changes that were made, let us hope that a new vitality and evangelistic fervor will emanate from these long sessions. We are a great church, 12 million strong. What mighty things God can do if we are fully committed to discovering and doing what His will is as a community of faith. Let us give it our best. And it is signed by the Bishop Robert M. Blackburn. Sadly, Mr. Blackburn has misunderstood the place of his authority. He has neither the authority nor the right to alter or change a pattern or direction of any of God's teachings and any of God's words. To do so is to violate a very basic principle that all authority resides in Jesus Christ. Please read Matthew 28:18, where he told us that he has all authority in heaven and earth. Reuben Shelley delivered a speech at the Missouri Street Church of Christ in West Memphis, Arkansas, on April 20, 21st, in 1990, here's what he said. Are we really looking for a pattern? We have taken Acts and tried to make it a prison. Acts was not meant to be a pattern. I reject pattern theology. The scripture is not a book of case law to be cited like a bunch of proof texts. The way to teach people about the Bible is not to quote a series of steps to salvation. I'm not looking for a pattern. I'm looking for a person. Again, Mr. Shelley has missed a point. Mr. Shelley, again, rejects pattern theology because it does not agree with his thinking. He does not believe the Bible is a case law. He does not believe that it's proof text and that it's a mistake to quote to people what the Bible says and how they should obtain salvation, and that he's not looking for a pattern, but he's looking for a person. Such thinking has gone awry. Such thinking is never found in God's Word. Let's see if the Bible presents a pattern. They say that there is not one. That's what we just read from Mr. Blackburn. That's what Mr. Shelley said. But let us see what God says about that. Let us see if there is a pattern in both the Old and the New Testament, and see if we find patterns that God has given man. And he expects man to follow those patterns or to pay some serious consequences. God has always had a divine pattern when he builds. Now let's give some examples from the Old Testament as we begin looking at God's answer to this question of pattern theology. In the days of the flood, in Genesis chapter 6 through 9, Noah built an ark, but how did he build that ark? He built it according to the pattern that God gave him. Let us read for just a moment from Galatians chapter 6, and let's read what God instructed Noah to do, beginning in verse 13. And it says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come upon me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width should be 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. And it shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it with a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark on it in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh which is in the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons and your wives and your son's wives with you. And at everything of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come with you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now understand that God gave Noah a pattern. He told him what to make the ark out of, gopher wood. He told him how many decks it was to have, three. He told him the length, the width, and the height that the ark was to be. He told them what to bring into the ark, two of every kind of class of animal, and his sons and their wives and his wife, eight souls in all, and to bring the food that would sustain them and the animals the time that they were in the ark. Now, when God gave those commandments, what did he desire and expect Noah to do? He did exactly what God commanded him. We read it in chapter 6 and verse 22. What happened? Because Noah followed those instructions, when God broke the waters of the deep underneath the earth and opened the windows of heaven and the water came from it and it began to rain for the next 40 days and 40 nights, as the earth was being covered with water up to the highest mountain, the ark rose above the earth by the water, and it saved Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives and all the animals that were in the ark. Why? Because Noah followed the pattern. Now let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. What would have happened had Noah supplanted some of God's instruction for his own? Let's say instead of making it out of gopher wood, he decided to make it out of some other kind of material, maybe cedar, maybe a little cedar. Maybe cedar trees were closer to where he was at, and it would be easier to transport them than the gopher wood that he might have to travel some distance to get. Would that have been okay? What if he'd have done that? Would the ark have floated? No, it wouldn't have floated. Why? Because God said gopher wood. That eliminated all other kinds of wood. You see, God had a pattern. I've heard for years that God doesn't really care about detail. Really? He told Noah what kind of material to make. He told him how many floors and decks to put in it. He told him how to pitch it within and without. He told him how many windows to put in it, where to put the door. And then he told him how to take everything that he would need inside the ark. Sounds like many details to me. Why did God give Noah those details? Because Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he followed God's instruction. You see, there was a pattern. Give you a very simple one for the last one this morning. Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. After creation, in 6 literal days, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. He told them that they had dominion over all that he had created. And he told them they could eat of all the trees in the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the midst of the garden, that they should not touch it, they should not eat it, that in the day that they ate it, they shall surely die. Now, did God give them a pattern of how he wanted them to live in the garden? Yes. They were to tend and keep the garden, and they could eat of all the trees except one. But God told them there was a consequence if they failed to follow that instruction. What did they do? They were tempted, and they yielded to that temptation of the serpent, and they ate of the tree, which he commanded them not to eat, and their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they knew the difference between right and wrong, and because of that, they disobeyed God, and in Genesis 3:24, they were cast from the Garden of Eden. Why? They had disobeyed the instruction. They had failed to follow the pattern of life that he had given them to live in the garden and have fellowship with him and have everything they needed if they would have just listened to his instruction. And so you see, in closing this morning, we have seen two basic Bible patterns. And yet, Mr. Blackburn and Mr. Shelley says that there are no patterns in the Bible, that he's not looking for a pattern, he's looking for a person. I'll tell you what God's looking for, ladies and gentlemen. He's looking for a man of faith that will trust him, that will believe in him, that will obey him, and will follow the pattern that he gives him in his life in order that he might be saved. No pattern theology? That did not come from God, that came from man. And men who follow that particular kind of understanding are not pleasing to God and have not studied and read their Bible. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue this next week, but read and study your Bible. See if you can find patterns and models and examples of what God wanted men to do, and then what did he want them to do with those models, those examples, and those patterns. Read and consider. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope that you'll tune in again next Sunday morning as we'll continue our discussion of pattern theology. Please come and worship God with us today. Have a very blessed day.